Amen. Well, we're going to continue with the word on the blood today. And I want to start in the book of Leviticus. And I just want to read a few verses here. It's Leviticus 16. I'm just going to read several verses here. Let me start in verse 15. And I'll just read down through 19, okay? Leviticus 16.
Thank you.
Okay. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil. Amen? We're talking about a blood sacrifice again here. This is Leviticus. And do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Now we're talking about sprinkling of the blood here. Okay? And we go on. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. Now what we're talking about here is the Day of Atonement. Okay?
Yeah.
This happens only once a year.
Amen.
And it happens about the time that we are right now in the year, about September, okay? Could be into October, depends on how their months fall. It would be the seventh month, and I believe the 15th day of the month that they do go in to make the atonement.
Tenth day,
you're right, tenth day. Yeah, I've got my Passover mixed up here. Okay. And he shall go out into the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and put the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now let us go back into Leviticus also, because we're looking at the sprinkling of the blood. We'll go back into chapter 8. Let's go back in your Bible a few pages. Thank you, sister. Amen. Chapter 8. And we are going to look at... Let's start in 21, I think, for this. Verse 21, okay? And he washed the inwards, this is the ram, and he washed the inwards and the legs in water, and Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded. And he brought the other ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Now, there are several things here concerning the blood, and I want to just write a few words here on the board. The first word is the word atonement. Okay? Atonement. Now, most of what we talked about last week was concerning atonement. We gave a rather lengthy definition of atonement. Now we have a new word, a new thing that is being spoken of here. And in particular, this 8th chapter of Leviticus, we have it, the blood of consecration. So I'm going to write the word consecration here. Now let me define consecration. It's something that's set aside, something that is made holy, okay? Something dedicated, okay? So in the blood, you see there are many aspects of the blood. Maybe I should write a couple of other words up here as well, although we may not get to it today. Let's see, we have, okay, yeah, I'm going to write, you have protection. And you have healing. And I think we will retire this one. Amen. In the atonement, you have forgiveness.
Cleansing.
You have the washing away of sin. Okay? In consecration, you have dedication. You're set aside. All right, you're made, it's made holy. You're made holy. Okay? Protection. And we can see, and we will see this protection in several examples, particularly when we talk about the Passover, where the blood was a protection for them. All right? But we've even come into the fullness of the new covenant now, where we have the healing power of the blood as well. Amen. By His stripes we are healed. Amen. Isaiah spoke it as well, that we are healed by His stripes. Okay, so the stripes are blood. It's the suffering, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ for our sins, for our pain, for our suffering, amen, for our curses, amen. We have this all in the blood. There's probably many more things I could write up here concerning the blood. We certainly wouldn't have time to take it all up today. Amen. But let's look at this about the sprinkling and the consecration. Now, you notice that the blood was put, for instance, in several locations. The blood was put on the mercy seat, first of all. All right. Now, there's nothing about the mercy seat that needs atonement,
right,
as a piece of furniture.
Right.
All right. The blood was put on the horns of the altar. There's nothing about the horns of the altar that need atonement or forgiveness of sins. But you see, this is consecration. This is set aside now as a hallowed thing. Amen. A place where the atoning blood is brought before God. And so these are hallowed things now, okay, in the time of the old covenant. Okay. Also, now it comes to men. Okay, these men were set aside. These men had a calling and a purpose. These priests. Okay, and so the blood was applied where? First of all, it was put on what? The right ear. Amen, sister. The blood on the right ear, the earlobe. Okay, and what was the purpose of putting the blood on the ear? If we're talking about the blood of consecration, we're talking about what? We're talking about consecrating what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? How many of you know we need to be careful with what we hear?
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And when we begin to hear things that are not going to be holy, that are in fact rather unholy, we need to be shutting it off.
The discernment of hearing.
Amen? We need to be careful what kind of word that we hear.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What kind of doctrine that we're hearing, partaking of, what kind of spirit we are partaking of through the ear. You see, these eyes and ears, they are the gates.
Yes, they
are the gates of the city of Mansoul. Where, what was that book, or was it a movie that we saw? The City of Mansoul. Where was it a book? Where the Satan was sending his troops to assault the city of man's soul. And if only he could get his agents into one of the gates, if he could get them into the eye gate or the ear gate, especially the eye gate and the ear gate, then he could work. What do they call it when they work underground in the, like a little mole? He could begin to destroy from inside.
Subversion.
There it is. Yeah, begin to subvert the soul of man. So the priests who were the leadership, the spiritual leadership in the days of Moses, they were to be careful what they heard. Their ear was to be consecrated to the Lord. Amen. Now, the second thing is then that the blood went upon the thumb of the right hand. Okay, what is the significance of right versus left?
Right hand of God.
Right hand is the place of favor, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with the left,
right.
But the right hand is the place of favor.
Yes.
Now, I don't care if you're left-handed; that's okay. You're still favored of God. Okay, but it has a spiritual meaning. Okay, don't take these things too far naturally and say, "Well, because I'm left-handed, I'm no good." That's not true. Amen. It has a spiritual meaning. And the thumb, of course, is the most crucial of all the members of the hand. In fact, if we were to look at the fivefold ministry, the thumb speaks of the apostolic ministry, okay, which is a very, very crucial. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do anything with your hand and leave the thumb out of the picture, but it is very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, when I pick up this glass to make a drink, I do. My thumb is the, you know, the thing that is on the opposite side of all my fingers. All right. Now, is it possible to do it without my thumb? I suppose it is. Yes. But it is very awkward.
Right.
Amen. So it's a key member. It's a key member of the body. We're talking about members of the body of Christ. Amen. Key members that need to be consecrated to the Lord. Okay? So the hand speaks of the deeds, the things that I do. All right? Now, he put it on the great toe of the right foot as well, okay? And the foot speaks of what?
Walking right.
It speaks of our walk. Are we walking uprightly before the Lord? What is our path? You know, are we walking in the path of the Lord? Amen? Are we walking in the ways of righteousness? Amen? And so, again, the great toe of the right foot.
Right.
Now, In the society we live today, you rarely see the toes of the foot.
Mm.
But Rita and I have just come from Africa,
yeah.
And the toes and the feet are seen quite frequently in Africa. We were down in Atlanta, and there were Nigerian brethren there, and they just freely pull their shoes off and right there in the meeting. I mean, big time preachers sitting there with their shoes off in the meeting. Not ashamed at all. It's just a cultural thing. And so I believe that in the days of Moses, the feet were clearly seen. I believe that they walked, probably had a little sandal or something on, but the big toe, I don't know if you've ever noticed how you walk.
Mm-hmm. I noticed how you walk because I lost my toes. It was the balance of thrown completely up.
Yes, yeah, you would know, brother. You've lost the toes, and if you've lost that big toe, the big toe is the key of balance as you walk. It's a direction. When you push off with your foot, that big toe is the last thing that leaves the ground, and it sends your body this way or that way in a direction that you're going to go. I'm sorry to get into physical therapy here a little bit, but that's the way it goes. It's a very key member, and our walk needs to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, that's where Moses put the blood. Now, I want to go back to the 9th chapter. Oh my, the 9th and 10th chapters of Hebrews are just so full and rich If we want to talk about the blood, because now Hebrews is taking us from the type and shadow of Moses, the pattern of things, into the reality of the heavenly things, okay? And I tell you what, brethren, this 9th and 10th chapter, I mean the book of Hebrews, this is preaching the kingdom of God. I don't know how people can stay down on the natural, lowly plane of natural things and read the book of Hebrews. It's bringing us up into heavenly understanding of the natural things. Amen? I don't know how we can say these natural things are reality. They're not. They're just a picture. Amen? And likewise, our own bodies are just pictures. Amen? Why don't you boost that up a couple of degrees?
It's cold.
Yeah, I think it's getting a little cool. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at chapter 9 of Hebrews. When verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That doesn't mean worldly in the sense that we mean worldly. It means it had a natural earth sanctuary made of natural things. Okay, didn't mean it was involved in worldly pursuits and pleasures and this type of thing. That's not at all the meaning. Some of these old English words have kind of lost their meaning over a couple of hundred years.
Right.
All right, and there are words changing today, even as we speak. All right, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the lampstand. Again, change your word candlestick to lampstand. There are no candles or candlesticks anywhere in the Bible, in the proper, true interpretation of the words. Candles are burned by Catholic and Episcopal, and thus, and they do not appear. It comes from Babylon.
Oh, that's what
it comes from Babylon. Lamps flow with oil. And oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. God will not have paraffin in the tabernacle.
Amen.
All right. Paraffin does not flow. Amen. That would be a wrong type of the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't get any life out of that spirit.
No.
Amen. All right. So we're talking about the lampstand. All right. The first wherein was a lampstand and the table and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. All right. Now, what we're talking about here is a picture, and I'll draw this again up on the board. You've seen these pictures many times. Here we have the outer court. And here we have what he's calling the tabernacle. Okay? And here we have the veil. All right, so what he's saying is, here is the table of showbread. Here is the lampstand. Okay, now here, and there's going to be a little question about this. All right, it starts off in the. I didn't realize it was that small. Can you see it? Get your binoculars out. Anyway, the picture is there. All right, so here we go. He says, and after the second veil. Which means, let me go here again. There was a curtain here, but this was called the door.
Uh-huh.
All right, there were five pillars. There was this was called the gate. This was called the door, and this was called the veil. All right, but this was also a type of veil. It was a curtain. So he says after the second veil. And now he's talking about the Holy of Holies.
Right.
We sang the song today, "Worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies." Now what does that mean?
Spiritually gone.
Yeah. See, we do not have any building. There is no such thing standing anymore. There's not even a Jewish temple anymore. The tabernacle of Moses. By the way, we were reading in Joshua Rita and I are kind of reading Joshua together, beginning through. And you know, it seems to me that the tabernacle got lost somehow in the crossing of the Jordan. You never really hear about the complete tabernacle again after they come out of the wilderness. You hear about pieces of the furniture. But I wonder if they ever really assembled it in one place again, in its completeness. It's just a question I have. If you know the answer and you found it somewhere, tell me. But I don't think they had a complete one until Solomon built it. Again, the tabernacle of David was very different from this tabernacle. It was only one tent and there were no veils in it. So when David went into the tabernacle, and by the way, he wasn't a priest. He wasn't supposed to by the Moses law. But he went in and there was no veil. And he went directly into the so-called Holy of Holies. Now, what is God saying here? The Holy... See, this speaks of us too. This is our outer core, our flesh, our flesh man being, natural man, okay? This is our soul.
Yes.
And this is our spirit.
Amen.
And what did Jesus say to the woman at the well? She got into a religious discussion, or she wanted to, and he put it all right back in perspective, and he said, God is looking for those who worship in spirit and in truth. Not in this mountain, not in that temple of Jerusalem. No, no, that's not what God is looking for. He wants worship in spirit.
That's why he put it there.
So the Holy of Holies, worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies, is going to be worshiping God by the Spirit.
Right.
Now, if we can come in here when we gather together and worship in the Spirit, we do well.
Amen. God honors.
But you know what? The temptation and the distraction of the devil would have us worship in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have... I won't say you. How many times do God-fearing people come to a place and they're really hooping it up? And they go home and say, wow, that was great. We were really hopping and bopping. I've heard people use that term.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, where were you worshiping?
Yeah, right.
Were you worshiping in your flesh?
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Or were you worshiping in your soul?
Right.
You know, we can get pretty soulish about our worship too.
Yeah.
Because it feels good. Oh, that felt so good. Oh, I was so thrilled. But were we worshiping in spirit? Now, when we hear the voice of the Spirit of God and we yield to the voice of the Spirit of God, I believe that we are in the Spirit.
Moaning.
Amen. All right, let me go on. You have to judge for yourself, but let's go on here. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. Now, wait a minute. It didn't always... The golden censer, what this really... I thought, the golden censer? I remember a golden censer. Yes, they had censers. But what... My footnote here says what they're really talking about as the golden censer is really the golden altar. The golden altar of incense. All right. Now, the golden altar, for the most part, was in the holy place. But on the Day of Atonement, the priest took it through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and there he burned the incense on the golden altar. So it was called here in Hebrews the golden censer. Well, it would be a golden censer almost the size of this podium here. Not quite, but almost, you know. And not a censer that hangs by a chain or anything that swings back and forth.
Yeah.
Now, they had those too.
They still do have them in the Catholic Church.
But we're not talking about the Catholics here. Amen.
Amen.
He says, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table tables of the covenant. All right, that would be the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. Okay, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, or overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, all right, now ordained would be what?
Anointed by God.
Yes, all right. It would be prepared. It would also be consecrated. When they were consecrated and prepared, the priest went always into the first tabernacle according to the service of God. All right. In other words, the outer, the holy place, all right, where the lampstand and the table were,
right,
the priests went regularly into this place. Only priests.
Right.
Okay, only priests. The other people could go into the outer court.
With a bell around.
All right. But into the second, which is the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year and not without blood.
Yep.
You don't go in empty-handed. You go in with blood. Why? Why does he need to go in with blood? Because he needs to make atonement.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the people continue to sin.
Right. That's what they use.
There was no blood of Jesus.
Right.
There was no coming into the fullness of Christ yet.
Right. Amen.
There was no coming into perfection.
Right.
Amen. Even the blood that they took in was imperfect. It was as perfect as they could get in a lamb.
Right.
But nevertheless, lamb's blood was still, shall we say, an IOU.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying, God, we really need something better.
Amen.
We owe you something better, but this is the best we can do right now. Because this is what you told us to do, but we know something better is coming.
Right.
And you notice, let me go on here. I think he even said what side of the mercy seat it was sprinkled. Does he say it here? No, he doesn't. It does somewhere else that he sprinkled it on a certain side of the mercy seat.
Right side.
Okay, the right. I think it's the right side.
Yeah, the
okay. Without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs or the sins of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Do you understand why God had to remove the temple of Jerusalem? It was still standing. People would have believed still that they could have atonement for their sins,
right,
particularly the people of Israel.
Right.
They would still believe that.
Right.
Now, he's particularly talking about the tabernacle of Moses,
mm-hmm,
but it applies to all things that are built out of natural material,
right,
as long as they're standing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? While it was yet standing, which was a figure... All right, which was a symbolic or a type, a pattern, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. See, I said he could not be really perfected, this priest,
right,
no matter what he did,
right,
he couldn't be perfected.
Right.
Amen. Somebody speculated that the only reason that Moses went to heaven as Elijah was because God showed him exactly when he was going to die. He did. He told him, come on up the mountain, you're going to die today. And so therefore, Moses must have taken and made a sacrifice right then and there and died. And then the devil contended for his body,
yeah,
but he didn't get it.
Amen.
See, Moses and Elijah were found on the Mount of Transfiguration, which means that Moses' body went to heaven too,
yep,
just like Elijah.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Three of them, three people went that way. Enoch, Elijah, and Moses.
Amen.
So in every Shall, do I dare use the word dispensation?
Okay.
Don't take it wrong. In every dispensation, there was a way to go directly in.
Amen.
Before the law, Enoch.
Yes.
He walked in before the law. Amen. During the time of the law, Moses got in. During the age of the prophets, Elijah.
There could be still being done too. We don't know.
We don't know.
No,
but we know that there was a way.
Yeah.
And now in the blood of Jesus, we have another way. Okay.
God.
Okay. Which stood only in meats and drinks, okay, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now, that's the old order. You know, the whole book of Hebrews, I'd love to go through the whole book, chapter by chapter. I did this a long, long time ago. None of you were here. You don't remember it. But what we find in the book of Hebrews is old versus new. Comparing the old with the new. And here we begin, verse 11 now begins with the new. But Christ.
Amen.
But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle.
Thank you, Jesus.
This, in the natural, this was as perfect as it could get.
Yeah.
I mean, the gold in this thing, gold represented the nature and the purity of God.
Amen.
Amen. Silver sockets, redemption.
Yeah.
Amen. Even the colors of the veil, everything representative of perfection, but it wasn't perfect because it was natural.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus, amen. But Christ, amen. A high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands. I put the word human in there. Okay. That is to say, not of this building.
Yes. Amen.
All right. And we can say that about this building too.
Yes,
it's just a thing made out of wood and stone and electric wire and what have you. Okay? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. That's the most holy place, by the way. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. Now, if you take your Bible and underline that word once. Verse 12. Underline the word once. Any religion that suggests there is any further sacrifice to be made is a false doctrine.
That's right. Amen.
And a false religion as well.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
Why do I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Catholic Church,
right,
every time they make their, what we call communion, the bread and the wine, they say, I'll use a big word, transubstantiation. You can forget that word. It's a horrible word. What it means is they believe that the priest has the power to change that into the literal, actual
body and blood,
natural blood and body of Jesus Christ.
Can't
it can't be done.
No.
I mean, this is another doctrine that came from Babylon.
Yeah, it's from the devil.
And then the deception is that people believe because they are eating the actual blood and drinking, you know, of Jesus Christ, therefore they have Christ.
No.
It's a lie from hell.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not trying to rip somebody, but we need to understand the word once is used here several times in this chapter. Once, and it will not be repeated again.
Amen.
Jesus will not suffer and die again, and he will not bleed.
Amen.
His body will never again be broken.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's very important that you know this.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Once he entered once into the most holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. No more calves, no more goats, no more sheep, no more bullock, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. See, in other words, if there was some kind of consecration going on then, how much more shall the blood of Christ,
Amen.
Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, talk about the sheep, the lamb.
Yes.
They took, what was it, the 10th day, I believe, they took that lamb into their house on the first month, Abib. It's also called Nisan. On the first month, okay, on the 10th day, that lamb was taken into their house. They brought a beautiful, cute little lamb. They examined that lamb for, I believe it was 4 days, wasn't it?
I used to have one.
Yeah. And four is a whole number. It's as close as you can get to 3.5. Now, how long was Jesus examined?
3.5 years.
Yes, after he was and born. In that full, if each one of those represents a day, he was found perfect.
He died on the cross.
There was no flaw found in him. He was taken into the house of Israel,
Amen.
And examined for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
Now, in the natural, this family would learn to love this lamb.
Amen.
He became a pet. The children would pet him. They'd
right.
probably give him a name or something.
Right. Right.
No, don't give him a name. He's gonna be our sacrifice. But the purpose of this was to make sure this lamb had no flaws and no spot.
Right.
No blemish
right.
on him.
Amen.
No, he couldn't have a crooked ear,
right.
a torn ear. He couldn't have a lump in his side, you know, a little hernia or something. No, couldn't have any of that. You don't bring that kind of thing to God for a sacrifice.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
Purge. 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 We're going back to that word atonement again, aren't we? Purge means to wipe clean.
Amen. Cleansing.
Now, what are we wiping clean?
Us.
Us what?
Our sins.
Our what?
Our deeds.
Our conscience.
Yes.
Our conscience. We are putting the blood on our soul.
Yes, yes. Amen.
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 Your mind is part of your conscience.
Oh, yes.
What does your conscience cry out to you when you have sinned?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
I did it again.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Forgive me.
Forgive me again.
Wash me.
I seem to be having a problem.
Wash me.
The thing that I would, I do not.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what does the blood do? Without the blood, we would be living continually
yes.
under guilt
yes.
and condemnation.
Yes.
Now, we are free of that guilt and condemnation.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How can you be an overcomer under the load of guilt and condemnation? I don't think you can.
No, because it sticks with you.
How can you rise up to walk by faith under guilt and condemnation?
You can't, because your faith comes from Jesus.
All you're going to say is, oh, unworthy is me. Oh, I don't deserve to be healed. Oh, I don't deserve any answer from God. No, you can't have faith that way. Yes.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Purge your conscience from what?
Dead
works.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something. What are dead works?
Dead nothing.
Well, okay, we can start off with the kind of works that you were doing in the world.
Yeah, they don't get you.
They were certainly dead, weren't they?
Right.
I mean, if you were drinking and carousing and sinning and sinning and sinning, I mean, we don't need to identify them all, just all kinds of sin, it was dead works.
Amen.
But now, okay, you've come to Christ. What about dead works now?
You try to do the good ones.
Just trying to win favor of God by works?
No, works don't get you to heaven.
You see, and this is the thing of man-made religion, is works.
Right, yeah. Right.
It goes right back to the Garden of Eden. Adam wanted to create fig leaf religion.
Mm-hmm.
Man can sew fig leaves together, cover the nakedness, cover the sin, cover it all up. Okay, by works we did it.
Right.
No, we didn't. Because God showed up and said, I see everything.
Yes, he
did. He ruined man-made religion right there. But men have still been trying it. Cain tried it.
They're deceived.
Yeah, Cain tried it. And it didn't work for him either. And it hasn't worked.
It's all going to go.
Amen. It's Babylon, really. It's Babylon. I tell you, brethren, it's Babylon.
Yes, it is.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
What is a mediator?
Someone who goes between.
Someone that advocates for you, that goes between, all right? A priest, well, your lawyer could be a mediator, yeah. A priest is a type of mediator,
mm-hmm.
All right? Now, under the Old Covenant, there were priests, were there not?
Mm-hmm.
There was a priesthood. Why was there a priesthood under the Old Covenant? Because the people wanted it that way.
That's true.
When God showed up one day on the mountain, and the mountain shook, and fire, and everything else, and they were terrified. And they said, we don't want to meet this God. Moses, we'll take your word for it. You tell us, you and your priests, you tell us whatever he's saying, and we'll take that. But we don't want to meet that shaking and fire. And I mean, he's too awesome.
He is.
You know, I was thinking this morning as we were singing. I was thinking as we were singing about how holy God is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking the world really doesn't believe in God.
No.
They can't.
Right.
If they can make statements like, well, why would God allow a hurricane to come in here?
I know. Right.
I mean, if he's being God and sitting there on his throne, he must have fallen asleep. They don't know God.
Right.
You would never make dumb statements like that if you knew God.
I hate that.
God has much more than just sitting and guiding storms around and not making sure that you don't have any hardship and making sure that you never suffer and making sure that you never have a headache. And no, I mean, what idea do we have of His holiness? His, what was that one line of that song? His purposes are everlasting.
Amen.
What does the world know about his purposes?
No,
nothing.
Nothing. What privilege do we have of knowing his purposes?
Amen.
What about his throne is forever?
Amen.
I mean, just meditate on some of these things a little bit.
Yeah. Awesome. He's an awesome.
I tell you. Think about who he is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that means by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, or the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. This is lawyer language. When I say testament, you will understand better if I say last will and testament. We think of a testament as being your will. You write out in your will, when I am dead. Oh, you start off by saying, I, John Doe, being of sound mind, do hereby will and bequeath the thus and thus to my beloved niece and whatever. Okay. All right. Now, in order for a will and testament to come into effect, what has to happen?
Has to be a death.
I have to die.
Right.
All right. So this is God's testament.
Yes.
All right. In order, there had to be a death.
Yes.
For this to take place. Okay. Now you don't need to be a rocket scientist lawyer to figure that out.
Right.
Okay. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Okay? Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Alright, we're going on. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. So you see, now they're getting sprinkled.
Right.
We're talking about the blood of sprinkling
right.
here. Okay? Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. So he was giving them a little dose of blood. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. He was giving them consecration now. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of the blood is no remission.
Forgiveness.
So, the other thing about fig leaf religion is that there's no blood.
Okay.
The thing, man-made religion hates the blood.
Yes, they do.
Babylon hates the blood.
They use water.
Amen. Jezebel hates the blood, the true blood. I mean, she doesn't mind shedding blood in her anger, but she hates the blood of the covenant.
Martyrs.
Amen. So, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. In other words, the purifying of these pieces of furnishings in the tabernacle, and the tabernacle itself, and the book, or the covenant stone, amen, and the mercy seat, had to be purified and consecrated with blood. But they were natural things.
Yeah.
Now what Paul is saying is, and here we're talking the kingdom of God principles, is the spiritual things. When I say we preach the kingdom of God, I'm saying we are preaching the spiritual
Amen.
Understanding
Amen.
Of these natural things.
Amen.
Okay? For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands.
Amen.
Hello. The moose skin altar cloth that I was describing, that I met in Fort Yukon last week, I talked about it last week, where the Episcopal priest took me in there, and he showed me, I was to admire with my eyes, the beautiful beadwork that the native sisters had done, you know, to make. And it did look beautiful. And I wanted to feel of it. And he almost grabbed my hand. No, I mustn't, because this is sacred and holy. And of course, I was young. I was in my 20s. I didn't know
right.
much. I mean, I loved the Lord. I wasn't even baptized in the Spirit in those
right.
days. I knew the blood for my salvation,
right.
but there was a lot I didn't know.
Right. You're a baby.
But many years later, this, you know, there's funny little incidents just keep coming back to you. Years later, you think about them, and I'm thinking, there's something wrong in the thinking of these people. There's something wrong in the doctrine that they believe that natural things are made holy. It's not true anymore. It's the spiritual things that are holy now. All right? He says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. In other words, these are only pictures of the real thing. Brother Duciel's book, The Pattern. That's what the book, The Pattern, is all about. If you have the ability to plow through that, it's gonna destroy your old theology. It's gonna give you the kingdom of God as it was meant to be understood. You know, I'm gonna tell you a little story. I don't know how many years ago it was. It was in the 1980s. Yes, it would have been the 1980s. We were in this building. We had the pews set up this way, like church sometimes is set up. Brother Duciel was here bringing one of the first words that he brought. There was an old man sitting over on this side. He was almost 90 years old at the time. And a sister had brought him from Pinecrest Bible School. Do you know where the Pinecrest is? It's up in Salisbury, not very far from here, up just a little beyond Johnstown.
Brother Hoyer.
Brother Hoyer. Did you know Brother Hoyer? Did you ever meet him?
Through Charlie Phillips and spoke many times.
But you never met him. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He was quite an old man here. And I just want to give you this little testimony about Brother DeSeal was preaching the kingdom of God, the reality, the spiritual things. Amen? And Brother Hoyer had listened to him for about 15 or 20 minutes. And I was sitting behind Brother Hoyer, and I saw him. He was, as I said, he was quite old at the time. And I saw his hand begin to shake, and he reached for the pew in front of him. And he got a hold of that pew, and he raised himself up. And I thought to myself, oh, Brother Duciel's going to get rebuked now. But he didn't. Brother Duciel stopped preaching right away as soon as he saw Brother Hoyer get up. He smiled and Brother Hoyer said, Brother Duciel, I have been in the Word of God all my life. I have studied Hebrew and Greek. And he said, I have been a teacher of the Word. And he said, this is the first time ever that I've heard anybody preach the way it was meant to be understood.
Amen.
And he sat down.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
The man has gone home to be with the Lord today.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. I'm just giving a little testimony. This, how can you not read the 9th and 10th chapters of Hebrews and not see it? It's here. Paul. I'm going to say Paul. It doesn't say Paul in here, but I'm going to say Paul must have wrote it. I don't know any man that had that understanding. He had an understanding that Peter and James and John didn't have. He had revelation. They didn't speak against it, but Paul went deeper into it than the others did. Amen. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Notice again, he's not going to do it more than once. See, these old priests, they had to go in often. Mm-hmm. Every year, the priests would have to go in. Why? Because the sins kept building up, building up, building up. Then he'd have to go before God. God didn't let him come in. He only let one man, only the high priest, come in. And oh, the preparation that this man had to do. They say they used to tie a rope around his leg in case he died, because no man would dare to go in there to get him, lest they would all die. Some said they put a little bell on so that he would tinkle a little bit, and they would listen, and they would hear the tinkling of the little bell and say, oh, the man is still alive. Remember when Zacharias, I don't think he wasn't in the Holy of Holies, but remember when Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, it says that he went into the temple to do his duties. Now, he was in the holy place, and he was alone in there, and the angel of the Lord met him, and the people that were outside began pacing around. Oh, what's happened to Zacharias? Where is he? Did he get in trouble? Was he not prepared to meet God in there? But the angel of the Lord was in there telling him, you know, that his son was going to be John the Baptist, and he was to name him John, and he was to be the forerunner, amen, of Jesus Christ. He was going to introduce the Messiah. I mean, he was having a talk in there, but Zacharias wasn't answering because he didn't believe, and God said, well, then you won't be able to talk until you can believe.
Right.
Amen. All right. So, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once. Here again, underline that word once. But now once, in the end of the world, or the end, that isn't the end of the world, that is the end of the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's where, this is the age that we're in now, the end of ages, okay? At the end of ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now listen, this is important doctrine here too. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. It doesn't say it is appointed unto men once to die, and then maybe they can get another chance, or maybe they can have purgatory, and they get another opportunity. Or they can have ultimate reconciliation and maybe get another chance, and after the fires of hell have fried all the sin out of them, after a few eons, then they'll repent. No. Once to die, and then the judgment. So what God is saying to man is, make your calling and election sure while you are yet alive. This is the only chance you're going to get.
Amen.
You're not going to get another chance after you die. It's final. Okay? So then Christ was once, underline that word once again, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen.
This is a good place to stop, isn't it?
Yeah, amen.